Hi everyone, Gary here with a very special interview here on the Fourth Official. Now joining me this evening to chat through his experiences of the season just past as Livingston's Players Player of the Year for season 22-23 is Joel Nubley. Big welcome to the Fourth Official, Joel. Thanks for joining us.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I think best place to start is where I kind of first came across you, Joel, was earlier on this season. First game of the season, Rangers versus Livingston, live on the TV, and you had the opening goal of the game, and it really, as someone who's a Rangers fan, it was the first time I'd ever kind of came across yourself. But you, this season particularly, when I've seen you in the matches against Rangers, you have stood out as a massive presence, and you've done very well against us this season with a couple of goals. So talk to us a little bit about how that game was. Obviously, first game of the season, live on the TV, national TV audience, and how much exposure, just how you performed on that day, had got you.
No, that obviously when you play against any of the old firm teams, like you said, exposure is crazy compared to obviously any other game on Sky Sports as well, added to it. But yeah, coming up to that game, obviously last the well the season previous, I was obviously done half a season at Arbroath and half at Livingston. So coming into this season, I was like saying obviously I need to try to add more goals to my game, stamp my authority in the league. And see, there's no better way to start against Rangers. And going into that game, my mindset is when you play against obviously the better teams, I always want to try and show that I believe I can play against them and do well against them. So yeah, going to that game, I was just confident, looking forward to it on Sky Sports as well, obviously, which makes it better. I like, you could say, the added pressure. Then yeah, not getting a goal first game of the season was very good. And yeah, after the game, my phone went crazy.
Yeah, I can
Absolutely,
imagine.
absolutely crazy. So yeah, that was I say the best way to kind of set the tone for the season. And like you said, when I've played against Rangers a few times, obviously I've scored a few goals. And obviously that always helps playing against Rangers. But yeah, no, I like playing against the better players.
Yeah, and do you think that the style of play that you have, Joel, kind of lends itself to playing against the old firm? Because certainly one thing that I've noticed over the course of this season, and particularly with Rangers over the last 2 or 3 years, is we don't tend to like big physical strikers, and generally that there's a trend of strikers like yourself doing very well in Scottish football because of the very kind of physical nature of our game. But it's not just being physical, but it's having a bit of pace, a bit of power with it as well. And kind of dynamic strikers like yourself do tend to do quite well up here in Scotland.
Yeah, I'll say probably, like I say, all the old, well, we'll speak on Rangers. When they play against, obviously, other than Celtic, they're probably, in a way, probably don't, obviously, I don't know how they think, but they probably don't respect the opposition teams because they're probably going to have 85% of the ball, be very spacious, expansive, have a lot of players going forward. So, obviously, when I play against Rangers, that's probably the game when I get most space and most one-on-ones. And if I'm one-on-one with any defender in this league, I back myself. So, because when I play against any other team, I don't get the same opportunities. So it kind of helps because, like I said, Rangers probably don't look at me as like I'm not like a Kyogo or a Jota or Mared or someone from Celtic. So especially in the first game, they gave me a lot of situations when I'm 1v1 with whoever was near me, and I got a lot of joy. So, yeah, no, probably if a striker similar to me, like who's physical, got pace and power, if you give us like any situation or 1v1 with a defender, we're gonna be smiling. So, yeah, they're probably trying to score with 10 players and leave a defender at the back by himself. So, it kind of helps us.
No, perfect. So you mentioned earlier, Joel, that obviously when you first came up to Scotland, you had a spell out on loan up at Arbroath. Now, as someone that's obviously came up to Scotland from down south, how much of a culture shock was playing at Arbroath? initially?
To be fair, it wasn't that big. Like I said, I came from down south, but I came from down south in the lower leagues, so I've been at grounds a lot worse than Arbroath. The biggest culture shock was the wind. That
The
was
wind,
what,
yeah,
yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
that was the biggest culture shock, because I wasn't prepared for it. Because obviously initially when I joined, obviously it wasn't bad weather or anything like that. But the first thing they told me was, when it gets November, December time, just be ready for goal kick, because they're not gonna go where you think they're gonna go. So I was just like, oh, I bet it's not that bad. But when the time came, there was a game, I can't remember who we played against, but Derek, like the keeper, was kicking it. And I usually stand like just past the halfway line. It's not even reaching the halfway line. So I'm just like, okay, this game is something I'm not used to. But yeah, in terms of like the ground and everything else, it wasn't that big of a shock, because I played in grounds a lot worse than our both. Probably the other culture shock was the management team, with Dick and Pink as a duo. They're probably the craziest characters I've probably ever come across in football. But they made my loan spell probably the most enjoyable loan spell I could have asked for. They made it so easy. All the boys made it easy, the fans, and I loved it, to be fair. Even
You
though
mentioned,
that season, it seemed like felt like I was there a lot longer.
yeah, you mentioned that, and obviously your time up in Scotland, you've been involved with very colourful characters, obviously Davy Martindale at Livingston as well, as probably of a similar ilk to the Campbell brothers in terms of the fact that there's no airs and graces about them, and I think that's what makes them so popular in Scottish football, even with fans of other sides, is that there seems to be a lot of respect for them for the way that they set their teams up and that they call a spade, and I think possibly that was maybe a good fit for you, given obviously Davy Martindale style at Livingston as well.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of similarities, like you said. So getting sent on loan to Arbroath and obviously coming back to Livingston, there was obviously some differences, but it wasn't that much, in terms of both very demanding, both very honest, and will tell you like their opinion with no hesitation. So that wasn't it was like a hard transition to go from one manager to another. But yeah, no, they're probably the biggest characters, especially up to now, I've come across in my career so far.
Yeah, so let's rewind, Joel, a little bit to your kind of early days in football. And obviously, you started off going through the kind of youth ranks at Chelsea. So,
Yeah.
when you were growing up as a young boy, who was it that you grew up idolising it and watching? And what got you into football originally?
What got me to football was my older brother and my dad's. So my older brother plays football as well, and my dad loves football. So just like most probably younger brothers do, just followed up. And there's a 5-year gap between us. So he was playing at a local football team. I joined it literally then, and got started. In terms of what I was following, in terms of like you could say football players, initially, I was just idolizing my older brother, because he was doing well. But then when I kind of started watching it a bit more, loved watching Thierry Henry, thought he was different than Drogba. Because obviously, when I signed at Chelsea, you get to watch a lot of games. So watching Drogba was, and we're both from the same country, so that probably adds it as well. He was the king. So yeah, probably Dumfries. Like my older brother, Thierry and Drogba, are the biggest like inspiration.
Yeah, and would you say that you model your game on those types of players now, or is that just kind of the way that you've been developed and the way that you've been coached throughout your career?
Yeah, I'll probably say a bit of everything. The way I've been developed and coached, and then it kind of goes hand in hand with the players that I like. So I'll probably say a bit of it all, because when I do watch good players, I always try and see if I can take something from their game. Because the way I see it is, if these are like the best players in the world, I might as well copy from the best players. And yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Absolutely. So, yep. So, talk to me a little bit then about kind of lower league football down in England then, because you mentioned obviously starting off first professional club at Dagenham and Redbridge, but then going round a few different clubs, getting some loan moves across a few year period. And any that stand out for you, maybe more than others, that you enjoyed and had more success in?
Probably when I went to a team called Haringey Borough, because like you said, I was at Dagenham, so done my scholarship at Dagenham, got a pro. But in my pro year, I got injured, so I got released right after the injury, then I missed the whole of the next season because of my injury. So going from, you could say, cloud nine, getting a pro professional contract, to then a year later, you're injured, released. You say it was literally the opposite feeling. So then missing the whole of the next season doesn't help. So coming back from that injury, my mindset was just on, I've just got to play somewhere. Obviously, I was a professional last season, but I just want to play somewhere. But I went down the levels when done a year at Thurrock. But when I went Haringey, that was probably the first season I kind of felt, you could say, back to normal from the injury. And I had great success there, scored a lot of goals, a lot of assists. Was in, obviously, that league's team of the season, won player of the year, top scorer for the team. So probably there was the most enjoyable for my non-league experience.
And obviously, non-league football's had a big shot in its arm over the last couple of years, obviously, with the success of Wrexham and Ryan Reynolds and everything involved in there. But that's very non-typical of the kind of non-league journey. And do you think it's great that we've got more eyes now on the lower leagues, and it's not just all about your Man Uniteds and your Chelseas, that there's more of a spotlight shone on the kind of grassroots type level of football?
No, 100%, because there's a lot of good players down there. And like I said, all eyes naturally are going to be on the top leagues, and obviously, deservedly so, because obviously that's the pinnacle of football. But not everyone's going to make it to that level, and there's still a lot of good players down there. Which, like I said, now Wrexham obviously adding a buzz to it. There's going to be more eyes. Obviously, Notts County and Wrexham, what they've done this past season was unbelievable in terms of the amount of points they accumulated, and they both, I felt like, deservedly so. Notts County got promoted because they play great football. But yeah, there's a lot of players, a lot more eyes now, and people kind of respect. Try to respect the level a bit more, because there's a lot of good players who probably just deserve an opportunity, and it would have surprised me if some players do well when they do get a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was it that attracted you to come up then from England up to Scotland? Obviously, it's Livingston being a Premier League club, but it's something a little bit different. So talk to me a little bit about how the move came about, Joel.
Yeah, it's even a funny story, because literally in the off season, I was at Aldershot Town in the National League. Obviously, I was a free agent, and it was literally the off season. And J. Manuel Thomas, I'm good friends with him because he played with my older brother, so I've known him for about 7-8 years now. And we was playing a local 7-a-side. And he's on the other team. I didn't even know he was going to be there. There was Joe Rebo and Glenn Kamara were there as well.
Nice, okay.
And so I know them two also. So it was like good players. And then I was talking to Jermaine Thomas, and he was just like, "What's your plans for next season?" And I'm like, "I'm a free agent. I'm trying to see if I can go in the Football League, because I felt like I've done well, had a good season. There's some interest." So he was like, "Okay, I'm gonna call David Martindale and tell him that, like, I've got a good player, and I feel like he can do very well for you." And I was like, he was like, "Would you go?" I said, 100%. Like, SPL, that would be the highest level I've played up to date. So, like, I'll be eager to go. He was like, "All right, leave it to me." So we played a game. He's like, I'll let you know what he says. Around probably about 10 days to 2 weeks go by, I kind of forget about it. He hasn't messaged me on anything like that. And he calls me and says, "Just be ready, Davey's gonna call you." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. This might actually happen." Then I go to I'm at one football tournament for charity. But I'm literally playing a tournament with my phone in my pocket just to make sure I don't miss the phone call.
Okay.
So I'm playing game, my phone's ringing. And I asked to get subs. I get subbed. My phone's ringing, and it's David Martindale. So I pick up, and he's just like Jermaine Thomas has obviously told me about you. Like I'll give you like a chance. We're going away for a week. Can you come up to Scotland tomorrow, so you can come away with us for the week? I'm like, no problem. So, and the way I looked at it at the time was, I had some offers in the National League. That were that the teams wanted to sign me, but I was like, this is an opportunity I can't turn down. And I backed myself in every situation I go into. So I was confident that given the opportunity that I'll take it. So I go to Scotland the next day, go away with the boys for a week. Felt like I'd done all right. Didn't feel like I had done like amazing or anything like that. In the game, we played two matches. I only played about, in total, probably about 30 minutes. He brought me on, obviously, near the end. So I was thinking, I hope I showed enough in the limited time I got. Then he calls me a few days later, says, yeah, like he wants to sign me. So then yeah, that's how I get signed for Livingston. So if I don't bump into Jermaine Thomas on that day, probably wouldn't be at Livingston.
Well, that's amazing. And obviously, you've got a great rapport now with the Livingston fans, a big kind of fans' favourite, the Tony Macaroni. What is it, do you think, about that stadium that makes it so difficult for opposition teams to go to Livingston? Because you've got such a great home record there.
Yeah, no, we got a very good home record. I'll say, obviously, most teams, I think it's only us and Kilmarnock that have an Astro pitch. So most, obviously, all the other teams don't. So that probably, obviously, Astro pitch and grass, there are differences. So in terms of dribbling with the ball, passing the ball, a long ball, the way it bounces, obviously, there's differences to it. So in that home, from my point of view as a player for Livingston, we felt like we do start a lot better at home. Like we start faster, we're more aggressive against teams. Because even though, so we know we don't have like the biggest budget or anything like that, I do feel like we've got a lot of good players in the team that probably get labelled as just hard workers, but they can actually play football. So yeah, no, we've done well at home this season, very well at home. And yeah, I just don't think it's an easy game for most teams coming to Livingston. Probably got this agenda of Astro pitch, so they're probably already down. And sometimes I see fans say it, like, obviously we've got the advantage, obviously we do play on it. But I feel like if you ask most of the boys, maybe even the management, we'll rather play on grass. But obviously that's the case, that that's our home pitch, and we just try to make the most out of it.
I think, yeah, as an opposition fan, I always feel that the Livingston pitch, it's different to the Kilmarnock pitch as well. They're not the same,
No, no.
and it's very interesting to kind of get a professional's opinion on that as well, because, as I say, it is an advantage that you've got out on there, but I almost feel as if, how much of an advantage is it, or is it just the way that the team, you're at home anyway, so you would have as good a home record, even if it wasn't the AstroTurf and it was a grass park. Because if I go back to Livingston, even 10 years ago, when they were doing very well, again, it was a very difficult place to go, a very
Yeah.
tight pitch, and the fans that are there are right on top of you. So it's not a new thing to go to Livingston and for big teams to struggle. Rangers have lost there a few times over the last few years, and even the last couple of years, Celtic, as well as they've done in the Scottish League, have found
Yeah.
it difficult to go to Livingston.
No, 100%. And like sometimes I feel like, obviously, if any team comes and loses, that's the first thing they'll go to, just, oh, it's because of the pitch that we lost. I feel like that kind of takes away, like you said, Livingston years ago, where they had a good home record. So it's not a new thing. You always know what you're going to kind of get against the Livingston team, hardworking team, organized. And like I said, there's quality in the team. Or if there wasn't quality in the team, you wouldn't win that many games at home. You can't just luckily win games all the time. It doesn't work out like that in a season. So I do feel like sometimes people use it as an excuse, like, oh, they're on Astros, so that's why their team come and lost, which obviously I don't agree with, because like I said, we would prefer to play on grass, but the case is one Astro, and it is a good Astro, and also we've lost a few games, so it's on the day the team that was a better team.
And do you need to prepare, like, change your preparation or even your recovery after a game because of playing the 90 minutes on the AstroTurf? How different is it to having 90 minutes on a grass park for the legs and for the being able to recover and ready to go next time round? Mentioned earlier that you've had a history of some injuries as well. So is that something that's in the back of your mind and you have to alter how you prepare or recover from games?
Not really, to be fair. Like I said, the Astro is quite it is good Astro. So I think it's more. See, at first, when I first signed, because obviously I was playing on grass the year before, so then go to Astro, you kind of do have to kind of get used to it. But when you kind of get used to it, it's not that much demanding on your body. But probably for opposing players, when they're used to playing grass week in, week out, to then go to Astro, it might be different for them. But for me, I haven't really had to like change. But you do feel probably a slight difference coming off a grass pitch to Astro, for sure. But I ain't had to do much differences in terms of recovery or prepare for it, because it's not like I said, it's different between Kamara. Kamara's one is a bit more harder on your body, but Livingston's one has got some cushion to it, so it's not that demanding, like on your body.
Okay, and what does the close season look like for you, Joel? Obviously, the season's just finished, and Livingston again have kind of defied the odds and their budget and the size of the club to do very well and finish very comfortable in the league this year, when maybe slightly bigger sides like Dundee United obviously have been relegated this season, haven't managed to adapt very well. So, how happy are the management about how the team have gone, and what's your plans for the summer?
Well, like I said, for the season, obviously Dundee United obviously getting relegated. Yeah, they have, I don't know, probably at least double the budget to us. So us surviving comfortably is a good achievement at the start of the season. We all got asked what the goal is, and obviously everyone said obviously survival, but try and finish as high as possible. So initially, obviously missing out on top six. On the final day, before the split, was a sore one to take. So it'll probably take a few more days to kind of accept where we finished, because when you're so close to being in the top six, I felt like we had a good enough team to be there. It is a bit sore, but like you said, being safe with the budget we do have, and obviously us as players, we know what it is like compared to the league, but we don't go out there and think, oh, we're the lowest budget, like we should just be happy to survive. We wanted to make top six, but obviously we did. Unfortunately, we didn't make it, but we can't take it for granted, because, like I said, Dundee United have a lot bigger budget, and unfortunately, they didn't survive. And my off season, probably we get a few weeks off, and then couple of weeks prior to going back in, we have a schedule with like our own individual program. So the first couple of weeks, I'm just gonna obviously rest the body, because it was every season obviously can always be very draining, and try to come back fitter than it was last season, and get ready for another season.
Okay. I've been given a couple of things just to ask you before we round things up. So, David Bedura, is our colleague at Livingston, who's kind of plied with a few things to talk to you about. But he's mentioned to me about bread. So, talk to me a bit about bread, Joel.
So when I first came, when I came on the trial for the week, we went to Spain, and in Spain, I was eating a lot of bread in Spain, because I didn't love the food in the hotel. So they had wonderful bread, baguette bread, like what you can get at Lidl. And yeah, it was amazing. So because of that, because I had a lot of bread, all the boys, especially Christian Montano, would just call me the bread monster every day. So obviously, David obviously probably hears that every interview that Christian does. He always brings up that my bread monster. He brought it up in see the video for Players Player of the Year. He ended it with bread monster. So yeah, that's the whole thing with that. And when either me or Christian score the season, we buy each other bread from Lidl.
All right,
So
nice. Okay.
we do that the next day. We're in. We bring that in. So yeah, that's the whole bread. So, but yeah, the bread in Spain, it was amazing. So I don't regret my decision.
Nice one. And obviously, next season is the last one, I believe, on your current contract, Joel. So, what does the future look like for yourself? Are you obviously happy to remain in Scotland and looking to extend that, or just to kind of need to see how next season goes?
Yeah, kind of see how the season goes. I've enjoyed my time, see up to now with Livingston playing week in week out, given the opportunity thanks to the gaffer, which I'm always grateful for. But obviously, I've even said to the gaffer like the way my mind works and my ambition is just while I can just try and see if I can keep on pushing myself and kicking on. So I'm always I'm a very ambitious person, so I'm always want to see how high I can get, what level I can get to, and the age I'm at now, I feel like I'm entering a prime year. So we'll see how the season goes. Hopefully, I can have a better season than this year. I always want to challenge myself, but yeah, just kind of see how the season goes.
No, perfect. We'll certainly look forward to seeing how Livingston get on next season. I think just to round things off, Joel, any David Martindale stories that you can tell that are suitable for broadcast? I know that there's probably some stuff that we can't mention, but anything that you can give us that is a good way to kind of sign off.
Okay. One that's suitable. Oh, I'm trying to think now. Because I'll probably say when we do like quite a bit of finishing. So obviously he likes chiming in and leading by example. But no, to be fair, I'll even say Soccer AM. When Soccer AM came in with Jimmy Bullard, there's always the ones that don't always get shown on camera, and there was a lot of I'd say a lot of bloopers. So that's probably a decent memory because, like he said, there's a lot that can't be
Yeah.
said. I don't want to stay in his good books. So
No, absolutely.
probably just say that.
We've had Davey on before on the pod as well, so we know a lot about that. But I'd
Yeah.
imagine he's probably a very good character to want to play for. I think his management skills are almost second to none. So I think he's certainly one that will make you want to play for him.
Yeah, no, it's very, like I said, very, very demanding, and that's something that I can appreciate because keeps you on your toes. You can't be complacent or easygoing, or he will let you know. So and that's probably why. Especially at home, obviously we've done quite well. Teams want to play us because everybody on the pitch is honest and hardworking. That obviously that comes from him. So well, that's credit to him.
Oh, brilliant. Big thank you, Joel,
No
for joining us
problem,
here on the fourth official. It's been fascinating to talk to you. Even though you scored a couple of goals against us last season,
man.
you've came across brilliant. So, no, I big appreciate for giving up your time in the close season, and wish you all the best for next season with Livingston. So, thanks very much for
Thank
your time.
you, man. No, no worries. Thank you.
Thanks, Joel. We'll speak to you soon.
Always. Cheers, man.